This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Welcome in. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you. My partner, Armand Kachigian.
I don't have my list. I'm going to have to go.
I gave you a list yesterday.
I know, but I gave it to, what's his name? The guy that does the Corey, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he wanted it in advance because he's leaving early today. So to be helpful to him, I gave him the list of, and I circled the ones we would probably be doing so he could.
Well, this is interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to help the guy out. He's a nice kid.
All right,
I got a couple things from yesterday before you even begin.
You strive for exactitude.
Right. Mandela's middle name, and I'm going to Rolihlahla.
Rolihlahla.
Okay. Or Rolihlahla. I don't know. Okay.
Interesting.
I like this. I like it. Buckingham Palace was built in 1703 for the Duke of Buckingham.
So long after the event we were talking
about.
About 50 years.
Acquired by King George III, and he put his wife in there. Apparently he wanted to get rid of her. Queen Charlotte, who I think we've discussed that. Charlotte, North Carolina, is named after.
And named after her.
Yeah, he put her away. And then it was enlarged and hopefully improved upon by John Nash, one of my favorite architects. 1837, Victoria moved in. First monarch, English monarch, to live there. And then George I was the English monarch that did not speak English.
No English from George I.
No English. House of Hanover.
Wow.
German. Okay.
Wow.
Now,
that's amazing.
Proceed.
I can't really wrap my head around that.
I'd like to have a president that didn't speak English. I'd like a president that didn't speak.
How about that?
Yeah. And I'm not just talking about our present one. The last couple I could do without their dialogue. All right. There's my.
Get off your soapbox,
yeah.
All right?
If you listen to Osho Man yesterday, we had quite a heated debate.
The whole entire office could hear it.
Well, whose side were you on?
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to check that one out, go to OchoMan.com, the Behind the Eight Ball show.
Right. If you want to hear Osho Man ranting and pure logic coming from me, go to that show.
So, the events, the birthdays, the deaths, all on this day in history coming at you. Oh, there's some cool birthdays today.
Yeah.
There's some interesting
some real assholes.
There's some interesting
too.
Deaths.
Yeah.
And there's a number of events that are worth your time kind of to reflect upon, see if they affect the world you live in today. In 1377, 2,000 people in the Italian city of Cesena are killed by the Condottiere, the papal armed forces.
Right. Those are good old days.
And the Cesena bloodbath.
Now they just have those Swiss Guard, right?
They don't. Yeah, Swiss Guard hasn't taken anybody out for a long time.
Yeah, I think Michelangelo designed their uniform.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite a sight. The Swiss Guard.
Yeah, they look great.
You ever stand?
Remember Dirty Dozen? They're very pretty, Colonel.
But can they fight?
But can they fight? Yes, I hope you're right. Who wants to be a general? That's the best scene in the movie. Just walk up and down, look dumb, and act stupid.
And then stop. Where are you from?
I'd rather be a civilian, sir.
Where are you from, soldier?
That's right. Madison City,
Missouri. Madison City, Missouri, sir.
Never heard of it. Yeah,
Sutherland truly was in his element.
He's one of the few that's left alive.
I know.
Clint Walker's still alive.
Jim Brown?
I don't know, Trini Lopez?
No,
he has to be dead.
I think Satelli, gone.
Satelli's gone. And Charles Bronson.
Gone.
Cassavetes died today, on this date?
On this date. Yeah.
We'll get to him.
I'll get to John. 1690, your colony of Massachusetts issues the first paper money
good idea.
In the Americas.
I hate this, too. You dumbasses.
I got to tell you.
Yeah, the good idea. Just print money.
Really? I would not side with Armand on a lot of things. But circa 1690, if you handed me a paper note and told me it's money,
I'd just crumble
it up and throw it right back at you and say, you give me gold
right.
or you give me silver.
Right. There's a reason.
Paper money.
There's a reason those are worth something.
1690. Right. Who are we kidding?
Yeah. Not worth a continental. It wasn't. That was even before the continental.
About 100 years before the continental.
But we still do it. We still print it. Right? As we speak. I don't know how many millions are being printed. Worthless. It's worthless.
Well, it's not worthless.
Yeah, well, it's worth whatever.
It's worth whatever you perceive it to be worth and the trust of the market's perception
right.
of it.
Very well stated, Mr. Hazlitt.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Look,
you may be the woman with the most courage in America.
You can't walk in anymore. And...
No, of course not. You can't redeem.
It's not redeemable.
Long time ago, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
1690.
Full faith of the United
1690,
States.
I'm throwing it back in your face. Sorry. 1809, Territory of Illinois. Well, it's created.
It'll never make it.
They said it wouldn't last.
I don't think it will.
The 10th United States Congress went ahead and created the Illinois Territory. It only took them another 9 years to achieve statehood after that. How about that?
I'm just looking at these.
In our studio, we have a lot of big screen TVs, and right now they have sort of a library of a dictionary.
It's like Samuel Johnson's dictionary.
Yeah,
up here.
And suddenly words come up in
subjunctive.
He feels compelled to read them, and sometimes he doesn't.
Well, you know me. I'm a word file.
Yeah, you are, and sometimes you don't agree with the definitions,
file.
And you know. So Armand just got subjunctive
ahead.
There.
All right, sorry.
Kaput. There's another one.
Yeah, we know that one.
You're going to be kaput.
Yeah, the show.
1870.
The
15th Amendment of the United States is ratified, guaranteeing voting rights to citizens, regardless of race.
Irregardless.
Irregardless is not a word. Sorry, it's not. You know that word, Smith.
I still like it.
1913, the 16th Amendment, also ratified on this
date.
That's
the one we hate.
And it authorizes, and this really, we should all wear black armbands on this day. It authorizes the federal government to impose and collect an income tax.
Right, right. First, you print all the money up and make it worthless, and then you take it away from people. Power to tax is the power to destroy. John Marshall. Good idea.
I think you have that tattooed on your ribs, don't you?
I know.
You know all those chicks who have Bible verses and stuff?
Anybody who put this in ought to have a swastika on his tattooed. Our Jekyll Island buddies.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Pricks.
Jekyll Island. 1917, World War I, the U.S. breaks off diplomatic relations with Germany.
Good idea. Yeah, now that the election's over, Woodrow Wilson can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yep.
And, of course, sure.
And
let's go to war.
That comes a day after Germany announces a new policy of unrestricted submarine warfare.
Right, which, here's the deal. You know, we had no business getting in that war. Germany said, look, we'll call off the unrestricted submarine warfare if you just tell the British to let some ships in because our people are starving to death. And that's basically what William Jennings Bryan said, too, the Secretary of State, after the Lusitania was sunk.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you compare a few hundred people, 100 people drowning to a whole nation starving, which is what the British were doing? They're starving Germany out. Anyway, so what does Wilson do? He arms our naval guys. He arms our merchant vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking for war. God, I hate that guy.
Looking for war in all the wrong places.
We'll get to him later.
1918, the huge tunnel in San Francisco, the Twin Peaks Tunnel, begins service as the longest streetcar tunnel in the world, 11,920 feet.
Couple miles almost.
Two miles.
Yeah. Where is that? Under the bay, I guess?
I have never used the Twin Peaks tunnel.
Well, it's for streetcars, huh?
Yeah, but I've seen the Twin Peaks sign and whatnot, but I've only ridden a streetcar one time in my life, just as a
we've all
touristy
done that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Right. 1945, World War II, Operation Thunderclap, Armand. Now this is big. 1,000 B-17s out of the 8th Air Force bomb Berlin, a raid which will kill 2,500 to 3,000 people, and almost more importantly to the war effort than that. Now, keep in mind, this is 1945. You're in February, so the end game has truly begun. But it dehouses 120,000 plus people.
Dehouses?
Homeless. Nowhere to go. No home.
Yeah.
Complete and
Isn't
you can you can
houses?
And even have you ever been to Berlin?
No.
Okay, you can almost tell the sections of Berlin that got hit the hardest because they all have sort of postmodern housing in them. And you're like, you know what? This must have been an area that just got completely leveled.
Well, the whole country pretty much got leveled. That's what Morgenthau wanted to do. He wanted to just
bulldoze the whole thing.
Yeah, dismantle the whole damn country.
All right.
Give a few buffalo and halfway, let them start over.
Halfway through our events, you know us. We always switch to who was born on this date, February the 3rd.
Yeah.
And some interesting ones today. One that I start off with for our music aficionado of the classics, 1809, the birth of the pianist, composer, a conductor. He is a German. Felix Mendelssohn.
Oh, I didn't see him. Yeah, no, I like Felix Mendelssohn, and his sister was excellent too. Sophie Mendelssohn,
singer or
no composer?
Composer,
yeah,
okay.
Pianist, yeah.
American.
I like Mendelssohn's "Midsummer Night's Dream" overture. Check that out. His piano concerto in G minor is very good. He's a Jew, but he went by Mendelssohn Bartoli. He was smart, so they thought he was Italian.
He went by Mendelssohn Bartoli.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So he didn't want to be known. You know, he's a Jewish guy, obviously, Mendelssohn. But and he was also important.
Why is Mendelssohn obviously a Jewish guy?
Mendelssohn's a Jewish name.
Okay, but how? Why so? What? I.
Well, the name is
what
Jewish.
What am I missing from the Mendel, the son? What?
Mendelssohn is a Jewish name.
Okay.
Okay, that's all. Anyway, he discovered Schubert. He brought back, you know, Schubert had been dead for a while, and he kind of popularized his music, so he was good at doing that kind of stuff. I like his third symphony and the fourth, Italian, and the Scottish is third, dedicated to Queen Victoria, by the way.
Yep.
And the fourth symphony was the Italian. Listen to every one of them.
Very
often.
Good. All right. 1811, Horace Greeley, the journalist, politician.
Did not say go
and
Western.
That's another myth.
That was Sewell. That was Thomas Sewell, I think.
The amount of things that get accredited to people.
I think it was in his paper.
It was in his paper, sure.
All right,
but
so.
Go West, young man.
Yeah, and
you go to a trivia night.
Grow young with the country.
You'll probably start a fight if you.
Yeah, I got one tomorrow night, so I'm ready. I'm going to take my mouthpiece.
All right, good for you.
I'm always ready.
1874, birth of Gertrude Stein, poet, playwright,
rose,
author.
And often misquoted, not a rose. It's rose is a rose is a rose. That's what she said.
She said a
rose. No, not a. Just rose.
Rose.
Is a rose.
Is a rose.
Is a rose. Now, if you can figure that out, good for you. But that's not a rose is a rose. You know,
rose the name of a girl or something?
No. There's something profound in
Gertrude
there.
Gertrude had a pretty good time,
she was
didn't
sleeping
she?
With her secretary, Alice B. Toklas. And she, you know, she said, what's better is, asked her about Oakland. There's no there. that was a good quote. She talked about Oakland.
Oh, God. All right. 19.
She moved to Paris.
I'm sorry.
One of the emigres to Paris, living that life. Ugly woman.
1894, Norman Rockwell born. You a fan of the Rockwell?
You know, I think he's a little underrated. You know, they basically don't even call him an artist. He's an illustrator.
Yeah.
That's a pejorative term. And he took it well. He said, okay, that's what I am. I just want to figure out, 321 covers of the Saturday Evening Post. That's a lot. He had 4,000 original works. So this guy.
Wow, that's prodigious.
Yes, he was very fecund. And he was a Boy Scouts guy, did Boys Life covers.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I looked up. He was 6 feet one, and he was a dumbass. He wanted to go to war in World War I. Thank you, Woodrow. He was 6 feet tall, weighed 140 pounds. That's not enough. So the night before his enlistment, he tried to enlist. He ate a bunch of donuts and hot dogs and everything and just made it. So he pigged out. Good for you, Norman. He wanted to fight bad.
Okay.
Other than that, you know who the rich man's Norman Rockwell is? We've talked about this guy.
The rich man's Norman Rockwell.
Because this guy's more the population, you know. He's like the hoi polloi guy.
Okay.
The rich man's Andrew Wyeth.
Oh, yeah. We have talked about Andrew Wyeth.
That's what they call
the
rich man's Norman Rockwell. I like him, yeah. Although, I got to say, what I don't like, his little Four Freedoms series, Franklin Roosevelt. Remember the Four Freedoms speech?
You got to get off the FDR thing.
Yeah, well, this is one I hate really particularly bad because, okay, here are your Four Freedoms. Freedom from freedom of speech, okay, no problem, right? Freedom of worship, fine. Freedom from want. Now, that can mean just about any. And if you see the Norman Rockwell illustration of this, there's this woman, you know, she's serving her family a tray. They're all at dinner. You've seen it. I don't know what's on there, a turkey or a wallaby. I don't know what the hell she put on this tray. But so, of course, nobody can have any want. What the hell does that mean? And then freedom from fear. Okay, so you can't be afraid and you can't want anything. Well, what does that tell you? That's communism.
I don't know how you got to that corollary.
Yeah, that's a joke. That's a joke, son. But I'm just saying, how do you have freedom from want and fear in this world? It's impossible, isn't it?
You aspire to have it.
Not FDR.
You aspire to have it. Right. You can't guarantee it.
Well, we don't condone it by illustrating it. So that was a bad move, Norm.
All right. 1904, American Gangster, Pretty Boy Floyd.
Charles Arthur Floyd. Don't call him Pretty Boy.
I know he doesn't.
That's like calling Bugsy Siegel Bugsy.
I'll call Pretty Boy whatever I want to call him.
Yeah. He wasn't that pretty. You seen pictures of him?
Yeah, no.
But remember, now, interestingly enough, Floyd Mayweather called himself, remember, Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather? Yeah. Now he's just Money.
It was the Money.
Which I like better.
Money, man.
Wait a minute. There's a couple things about Pretty Boy
Pretty
Floyd.
Pretty Boy.
There's some. I've read several different accounts of his death. Now, one of them that I found the most interesting was by this sharpshooter, apparently a local cop. He's out of Cookson Hills.
What state?
Oklahoma.
Okay.
But he got shot in Ohio.
Yeah.
And one of the local police apparently said he got him because Purvis was such a lousy shot, he missed. So apparently this guy shoots him.
Was Purvis in on every gangster arrest ever?
He was in on this one.
Okay.
He was in on this one. Yeah, he didn't shoot Dillinger, but he was there.
Yeah. Was Purvis the person who leans down to hear Dillinger's last words?
I don't know if he had any last word. I don't think they were. And they blew him away. I mean, they didn't even give him a chance to surrender or anything.
That's the way they portrayed it in the Public Enemies movie.
Okay. Well, he was there, but he didn't shoot him.
Okay.
And then after he was dead, Charles Arthur Floyd
became
Public Enemy number one, which is a great honor. If you're going to be a crook, be number one.
Oh, man, it's the top of the list.
So they got him. And this sharpshooter shoots him, apparently. He falls down. He's bleeding. Purvis comes up to him with a couple of his other boys and calls him Charles Arthur Floyd. Or he said, calls him Pretty Boy. He goes, are you Pretty Boy Floyd? He goes, God damn it, I'm Charles Arthur Floyd. And Purvis says, shoot that bastard. And they machine gunned him.
You know what we should do?
That's what Smith said happened.
I tend to believe that, actually. Really? I mean, why?
Well, it makes for...
Armand, who is Public Enemy number one today?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm looking to see if we can find
this. Do they still even have them? Isn't that kind of old-fashioned?
Well, someone's got to be on top of some
list. I just thought they got rid of the list. I don't know.
Did they?
I don't know. You don't walk into post offices anymore and see wanted posters.
Here's the list. Capone, Dillinger, Floyd, Ken Kenneth, Babyface Nelson.
Don't call him that either.
I know.
It's
Alvin Karpis, Joaquin Guzman Loria.
Huh.
El Chapo.
Oh, okay. He's number one now?
I think he's incarcerated
now,
so I don't believe that can be correct. I want the current list. I want 1 through 10.
Hey, listen, yesterday you went through that stupid list of National League
Nothing
teams.
Nothing stupid
no more,
about the National
no
League,
lists.
Armand.
We don't list on this show.
Did you ever have the book of lists?
We're
Did you ever
even
read
keel.
That as
We
a
never
kid?
List. We don't take water in under below decks.
1917, Shlomo Groran.
Now, that's a Jewish name.
That is.
I would hazard to say. Now, I don't know who he is.
I just put him on the list because he's a rabbi. And a general. Polish rabbi and a general.
Sure.
It's great. Wonderful.
Kill him and bless him, baby.
There you go. Shoot him. Last rites.
Right.
Dominus Nobisco.
Everything.
Well, I know that's not the proper Latin, but that's what they say in Johnny
Dangerously.
That's what they say in Johnny Dangerously. 1918, Joey Bishop born.
I like him. Funny guy.
Funny guy.
Look at those D. Martin Rhodes.
Not one of the easy roles to play of sort of the side character.
He was one of the Rat Pack.
Yeah. Played it well, though.
Yeah,
is that
his real name?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Other guys, though, it's very, very tough gig.
Well,
Trust me.
He had a pretty soft taking Johnny Carson's place, interim host.
Yeah, interim host. 1925, Shelley Berman born, American actor and comedian. You ever listen to his old records?
Yeah, funny guy. Yeah,
Do the telephone calls?
Right. That was his shtick, right?
He's Larry David's father
on
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, okay, right.
Have you ever seen?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have some fantastic scenes.
He's still alive?
Well, there's the one where they go to, I don't know if he's still alive.
92, wow.
Yeah, so they go to his retirement home, and, Larry, his son, walks into the lobby, and all he can hear is this obvious pornographic movie being watched. And
Great.
He just keeps following the sound. Until he gets to his dad's room, and his dad and his girlfriend, both in their 90s, are sitting there watching it.
Hey, should be so lucky.
His mother dies, and Shelley Berman, doesn't even tell his son about his mom dying. Didn't want to bother him.
Oh.
Knew he was busy.
Well, shit is an inconvenience.
Yep. 1939, Michael Cimino born. Do you say Cimino or Cimino?
I've heard both. I guess Cimino is too. What I say. I say disaster is what
well,
I say.
Well, you can, and he certainly changed Hollywood forever. Oh. He made one of the great out-of-the-box films right away.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about throwing a fastball down the middle
of
the plate.
It was like his Citizen Kane. Matched it. You know,
yes, because the advice they gave to Orson Welles after Kane was – You hit the home run.
You're never going to beat it.
Apparently, Michael did not get this same message.
I don't agree with that. I think Wells made the bank. I will tell you this,
Armand. The Magnificent Ambersons was on its way to being a better film until he lost control of the cut.
Now, Touch of Evil's better. If you watch the director's cut, that's really good.
But we had to wait half a century almost for the director's cut.
Yeah, but even the old one, which I saw,
was very good.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it better than Citizen Kane.
The Deer Hunter is a home run.
It's a good movie.
It's a home run.
Except for the I love the scene with the Russian roulette. But other than that, it kind of plods along, I thought.
Oh, okay. I will give you it's a little long.
Yeah.
Heaven's Gate, though,
yes,
changed Hollywood from the day almost production started.
What's the book on that? There is a book on it. You got to read it. I read it. Give me the. It's been so long, but it was great.
Oh, I'll find it for you.
It talks about the excesses this guy had. They had cocaine all over the place. He spent enormous amounts of money. Nobody wanted to tell him no. He had to have like the exact postage stamps they used on the letters. I mean, this guy was nuts.
So the book, and you can get this on Amazon. I think this is the one you're referring to because I've seen this, but I've never picked it up.
Read it, yeah.
It's called Final Cut, Art, Money, Ego in the Making of Heaven's Gate, the film that sank United Artists.
That's the one. Read it. You won't believe what this clown did.
So Amazon.com, what I want you to do is go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and go get yourself a version, paperback or hardback, of Final Cut. The author is Stephen Bach.
Okay. Literally ruined United Artists. That was it.
There you have it.
What Chaplin, D.W. Griffith, Pickford, and Fairbanks.
What all created, the legends set up.
He destroyed. Okay.
And I can remember as a kid seeing a lot of UA films. And
all the James Bond.
Well, yeah, and I'd ask my dad, what's UA? He goes, that means it's a good movie.
Oh.
Well, until Cimino came along. Most of the time he was right.
Yeah.
You know? 1940, Fran Tarkenton born. Very exciting quarterback. Super Bowl guy. Then he was on
America's Funniest Videos, right?
And then Real People.
Real People, is that his show too?
1943, Blythe Danner.
Blythe.
I like Blythe. My mom saw her on Broadway. She loved it.
Yeah, she was very good at very singer. Yeah. Triple threat.
Gwyneth
actress.
Paltrow's mother.
I hate her.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah, enough of her. Shut up.
1945, Bob Greasy. Another great quarterback.
I like him.
1947, very good writer. A lot of his short works have actually been turned into some films. Paul Auster.
I don't know.
A-U-S-T-R.
Give me one of his works.
Short film.
Oh. Short film?
No, short stories.
Oh.
Usually collected works they're published as.
How do you spell it?
A-U-S-T-E-R.
All right, I'll look him up. I don't know that guy.
Dave Davies, the singer-songwriter, guitarist.
No.
Kinks.
I've heard of them.
Morgan Fairchild, you've heard of her.
Yeah, you know, she's like notorious in Hollywood even now.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Well,
tell.
Here's the
Do
not
tell.
Notorious. It's just
Armand's true Hollywood story.
And in fact, I'm doing like one of these movies I'm writing. I see her being in it because here's the deal with Morgan Fairchild. If you got $5,000 a day, she'll appear in any movie you want. Kind of like Eric Roberts too, apparently. They're these actors that like you write a part for them. In fact, a buddy of mine had Eric Roberts in his movie. Paid him like whatever. I don't know how much it was. Maybe a little bit more, but not much. $5,000 a day, give me the part. So if you want like Morgan Fairchild, you got her. And she'll give you a good day's work.
Yeah.
But she's just like, doesn't even care what the script is. Just, sure, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's none of this mantle of respectability to her, which I like. It's like, give me the money.
Yeah.
And say the same thing. I mean, even Laurence Olivier. Remember when he did Inchon? Which is just like a horrible movie. He plays Douglas MacArthur.
Oh God!
And they asked, and the movie was produced by the Reverend Moon.
Oh no!
Did Lawrence have to
get married in one of those big ceremonies?
No. Oh. They asked him, "What the hell? Why are you doing this movie?" He goes, "Well, they came to my door, offered me the part, and then showed me a suitcase with $1 million in it."
Yeah, I'll take it.
Right.
Done.
Right. So there you go. That's Laurence Olivier, the greatest actor of all time.
Where Brando got at the end of his career.
So I got no problem with Morgan Fairchild taking a few grand a day. But that's what she's, you know.
How about that? Fred Lynn, born in 19... Oh, by the way, Morgan Fairchild, born in 1950.
Still looking good.
She's 65, 66, 67 today.
Come on.
67 today.
What do you need, an abacus?
Boy.
Jeez.
She wasn't in Ferris category for me as a kid.
No, but pretty damn good.
But boy, oh boy, that was sharp. Then she made a return on Friends for a while.
Oh, did she?
She played one of the...
Mothers, I guess?
I think she played Chandler Bing's mom.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good turn for her.
I'd rather do her than any of those women, really. I like her.
Oh, please.
I like her.
Yeah. Fred Lynn, born in 1952.
Is he the only guy still to, I think,
rookie of the year,
and
MVP.
First guy to hit a grand slam in the All-Star game.
1975.
Yeah.
Put it all
might
together.
Have been that year, right?
In his rookie year.
Yeah.
1969, Beau Biden, soldier, lawyer, politician, son of vice president. He passed away just 2 years
ago. The Bidens are friends of our friends.
Yes, they are.
I wouldn't say I know any of them, but...
No,
they're supposed to be really nice people.
They are, and
that's a tragedy.
And Beau's tragic loss was
that hurts.
Perhaps part of the reason that Vice President Joe Biden did not decide to run for the nomination.
I never had kids, so I mean, I don't know, but I can't imagine.
Well,
he was
very close with his boys because their mother passed away young.
That's right.
And he took the boys. Hunter is the other brother,
right?
And all over the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, foreign and. You know,
yeah, so this one's close to what I'm trying to say is this loss hurts our studio.
I think politicians
we like
have a
guys.
Hard time. No, let's just talk about politicians mm-hmm. in general. If you're or civil servants, I think it's probably hard to maintain close family ties, you know, because of everything that you have to do.
Well, yeah, of course.
But the vice president was able to do this and maintain a very close relationship between being, you know, a foreign service, a senator, and all the way to a VP.
Well, that's kind of his personality.
That's amazing.
He gets on a train, goes down to Washington, and gets back on a train and goes, Delaware?
Delaware.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the guy who's kind of working man's kind of guy.
Yeah. So they were, not that fathers and sons aren't close, but this is a tight
anyway,
family.
This guy died too young. Let's put it that way.
Way too young.
Yep.
All right, back to the events. Now, this one
one more to add. I don't have a date on it, unfortunately.
Well, how can you have a birthday without a date?
I told you, I gave my sheet to Corey.
Oh, jeez.
But Emil Griffith.
Well, why do I know that name?
Because he's a boxer. He was born in the Virgin Islands. And the only reason I bring this up is he was a hell of a fighter. He's a middleweight, and I think middleweight and welterweight champ, right? But he's also one of our LGBT friends.
Really?
Well, he's basically a B.
Okay.
Right? Isn't that bisexual?
Yes.
Okay, he's a B. And he's going to fight this guy, Kid Parrott, this Cuban. Kid Parrott, pretty tough guy. They've already fought twice. This is their third fight. And at the weigh-in, Parrott calls him a maricon and grabs his ass and, you know, makes slurs about his masculinity.
Yeah.
Well, Emil didn't like that much. So during the fight, he just held him up and gave him the Jake LaMotta, the Sugar Ray,
mm-hmm.
and just pounded the shit out of the guy. In fact, Norman Mailer, our friend, was there and said, I've never seen a man get hit by another man as hard.
Wow.
Anyway, the guy goes in a coma. Kid Parrott dies 10 days later, never regains consciousness. So you got to watch what you say to these LGBT guys.
Better.
But unfortunately, Griffith, he was a nice guy, tried to go to the hospital, tried to see him. They wouldn't let him in. Never was the same after that. Neither was the referee, by the way.
Well, probably ruined him, and the referee's thinking I should have stopped this quicker.
And that's the other thing. This referee, apparently, I think his name was Ruby Goldstein. Another great name for a referee.
Absolutely.
A perfect name for that. He was apparently one of these guys that had been accused of being a little too soft, stopping fights too fast.
Yeah.
So he let it go, obviously, too long. And just this guy, he had him in a corner and just held him up at the shoulder, just beat the shit out of him. Anyway, he never refereed again. So a lot of people were pretty messed up after that.
So
Emil Griffith.
There you have it.
Look up his birthday yourselves, you lazy bums.
Back to the events.
Okay.
We go to 1959. Armand, the day the music died.
Yeah, this is yours. I mean,
Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and JP, the Big Bopper Richardson, in a plane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa. Holly and Valens, really all of them, still right in the swing of things.
Who's the biggest of all? I mean, Valens had one. Yeah, because Valens had one hit, right? The LaBon. He was just getting started, right? The young kid.
Yeah. And, you know, Big Bopper had been around. So
what's his real name?
J.P. Richardson.
J.P. Richardson.
Yeah. But Buddy Holly?
Yeah, I guess Buddy Holly's got to be.
And you know, this kind of starts.
What was the deal? Was it like a frozen lake or something? What happened? They crashed into a frozen lake, right, in Iowa?
Yeah, Clear Lake, Iowa.
Yeah, and so now who's the guy that was supposed to be on that? That's true.
Hold on.
Who's the guy that gave up his seat?
He did not get on the plane.
Right. I thought it was like a country guy though, wasn't it? It wasn't a rock and roll guy. I was surprised at who it was.
Well, the lines between country and rock in those
you
days.
Tell me his name.
A little blurred.
Yeah, but none of these guys were. I wouldn't mistake any of these dudes for
would it have been Waylon Jennings?
Yeah, Waylon Jennings.
Nope,
that's him. Right. Now did it say who he gave his seat up to? One guy took his place. And that was a bad move. Ugh. Yeah, Waylon Jennings, correct. Isn't he a country guy?
That's a bit of a crossover.
Okay.
You know.
Is he still alive, too?
Waylon?
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't think so.
Well, this happened.
Yeah, he passed away in 2002.
Okay. Well, see, he got another 43 years out of it. Yeah. He lucked out. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything you'd like to add?
Well, it starts the whole rock and roll die young thing. This is the beginning of it.
Yeah, they all die in plane crashes. Croce, didn't he die in a plane crash?
I mean, it's either plane crash or drug overdose.
Yeah.
Those are basically your two options.
So you think this is the beginning of the
No, it really
is. Longevity for rock stars.
Better the burnout than Fade Away.
Neil Young.
Right.
Thank you. All right. Well, yeah. I hope I die before I get old.
Yeah. But unless you're the Rolling Stones.
They're already old.
You're never going to die.
Yeah. Daltrey's old, too.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Anyway, didn't Patsy Cline die in a...
She died in a plane crash as well. And it was in the Midwest. And she and Loretta Lynn were doing a lot of touring together at the time. But it was something that Patsy had gone off for the day and was on her way home and crash happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's too bad.
So
American Pie, of course.
Don McLean.
Right. That's not the Don McLean who's one of the Cambridge Five.
No, not that Don.
Cocksucker spies. We hate them.
1961, this one I want to get into, Armand, because this...
Which one?
1961.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about an operation called Operation Looking Glass. Over the next 30 years, a doomsday plane is always in the air with the capability of taking direct control of the United States bombers and missiles in the event of the destruction of Strategic Air Command's command post.
Sounds logical to me.
For 30 years, they kept an airplane in the air.
Okay, well, that's part of deterrence, isn't it? Didn't you watch Dr. Strangelove?
Come on. I did.
All right.
I know how it ends.
Major Kong at the
I know
the
how helm? It ends.
Yeah.
A lot of bombs go off
in
the end.
That's not how real life ended, so
not
obviously.
Yet.
Here we go again. You go trying to prove a negative again, all right?
Again, deterrence works every day until it doesn't.
Yes. The Hubert Doctrine. You go back to school and take political science again.
No, thanks.
What socialist school did you go to?
None. 1971. You know the name. You know the movie. But not too many people, I think, actually know the story. New York police officer Frank Serpico was shot during...
I know the story because I read Peter Moss's book.
There you go. Shot during a drug bust in Brooklyn and survives to later testify against police corruption.
Yeah.
So the book...
This is the day he got shot in the face or this is the day he testified
This is the day he gets shot.
Okay.
He gets shot on this date, February 3rd, 1971.
Yeah, and a lot of people really didn't care about that too much. Yeah, he wasn't a real popular guy with the New York police.
A lot of his fellow officers. Right.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a, he's kind of a rat, isn't he?
Well, okay. Is he doing the public? Is he protecting and serving?
I don't know. That's the dilemma you have to put your character into. Do I serve the public or do I serve my Confederates?
Uh-huh.
Would you rat on me?
I don't know. What have you done?
Cheated on my taxes?
No.
Hey, cut that out. We edit that.
No.
Now here I go.
Go through a whole list of things.
I'm gonna get. Okay.
No, I wouldn't.
That was a joke.
I wouldn't rat on you for that.
I don't joke. I don't. I don't cheat on my taxes.
You do have a lot of deductions for staples.
I gave $47,000 to charity last year.
Sure, you did.
Actually, I give $29 a month to St. Jude's.
Can I deduct that? Absolutely, you can. Absolutely.
And I got one in 1951 we passed.
Okay.
Up. I don't know why, but I guess I just put it there because Rose Tattoo premiered.
Yes.
It's not one of my favorites. The only reason I say this is that when it ran in 1957 in Ireland, you know, there's a scene where the woman drops a condom on the floor. And this was big news back then. This was, and they arrested the director for that. So that's all. And Anna Magnani won the Academy Award for the film version, 1955. So, best actress.
By the way, what's the name of the book on Serpico that you said the author of?
I think it's just called Serpico.
Just Serpico.
By Peter Moss.
Okay.
M-A-A-S.
Amazon.com for that, folks. Yeah. Look it up. This Day in History Podcast.com. Click the Amazon banner and look for that Serpico book. You've heard the name. You've probably seen. That's Pacino, right?
Yeah.
You've probably seen the movie. Do yourself a favor. Read the book. 1984, John Buster and a team at the Harbor UCLA Medical Center announce history's first embryonic transfer. An embryo transferred from one woman to another. The result, okay live birth.
Good. Good for them.
Big. And that's 1984.
Yeah, that's
30 plus now.
33. Come on, will you do the addition?
It's hard. It's early.
Jeez, get this early guy a calculator, will you?
1984, on the very same date, the first mission for the STS-41, the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Oof.
First, it would be a short-lived life, the Challenger.
So what year was this?
84.
So 86 was when it blew up. So,
yeah, and only had about three service years, if that.
Yeah.
Can you name all the shuttles?
Discovery, Endeavor.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Enterprise doesn't count, right? Columbia.
I count Enterprise.
All right, Enterprise, Columbia, mm-hmm. Discovery, Endeavor, Atlantis.
You got them.
And Challenger. And
yeah.
You
got them.
Okay. Okay.
You got them. Absolutely. And finally, 1995, the first woman to pilot the space shuttle.
Yeah, she Eileen did Collins, so, right?
Yeah, okay. Eileen Collins.
No notes.
STS-63 gets underway, launches from the Kennedy Space Center in 1995.
Hey, listen, now you think of me. I know what you think of me. You know,
male chauvinist,
homophobic.
No,
chauvinist.
I actually don't think of you as homophobic at all.
I'm not, and I'm not a chauvinist. Listen, she can do the job as well as a man. Good for her.
Good for her.
And I will go further. Pay her as much as a man.
There you go. Okay. Well said.
All right, look at that. See, I'm a socialist too.
All right. Now,
I'm a Keynesian.
We got some deaths.
Yeah, I got
some.
Two.
Some, Armand.
Some I
will.
Some are not
will,
so good.
We'll cry over. Others, Armand will celebrate and rejoice.
I rejoice.
Yes. We start in 1468. Johannes.
No, I start in 1399.
Well, let's go 1399.
John of Gaunt. We've discussed this man.
John of Gaunt.
Yeah. Now this guy is basically the grandfather of the Lancaster, York, and Tudor dynasties. He's
three big houses.
He's Edward III's fourth son, I believe. He was the younger son of Edward the Black Prince. Pretty good fighter. He fought the French, kicked some French ass in the Hundred Years' War, mm-hmm. which lasted
117 years.
So there's that addition of years again. All right. Anyway, married the Catherine.
115 years.
Just about. You're right on the cusp.
We'll split the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And call it 116 years.
Multiply by two
years.
And divide, and you got it. Catherine Swinford was. His mistress, but then was technically the first queen of England that was a commoner. Because, I mean, technically he's king.
Yeah.
Even though it's Richard II is in charge. His son, Henry Bolingbroke, also known as Henry IV. He has a speech, the very famous speech in Richard II.
Yeah.
This royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle. The seat of Mars. Great, great speech. I used to do that, and I've forgotten it already, but I used to do that monologue when I was trying out for Shakespeare parts. That was a speech I did.
You tried out for Shakespeare?
Yeah, John of Gaunt. Yeah, I was in Henry V.
Very good.
And I did
King
Lear.
You'd make a great Iago.
It's a green-eyed monster. A beast with two backs. So anyway, he had a couple of really neat titles, too. He's the Earl of Richmond, the Duke of Lancaster, Duke of Aquitaine, King of Castile.
That's nice.
One of the richest guys in the world.
That's some nice
not
titles.
Not the richest. Yeah, it's good to be John of Gaunt.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And they called him Gaunt because he was born in Ghent. And there's kind of he's the king's, Edward III's son. They kind of think he might be the butcher's son because the wife liked to play around a little bit. And she liked her meat very, very rare.
Tender?
She liked it very tender. Well, not necessarily.
Well. I got
So, yeah, that was kind of a joke that
I get you.
Okay, now you may proceed.
1468, Johannes Gutenberg passes away.
That wasn't important.
The inventor of the printing press.
Yeah, nothing to add.
Nothing to add.
That's
there.
That's a trifle. Who needs it? Computers, printing press, all this communication. Cut it out. Just, you know, go farm and mind your own business.
1883, Richard Wagner. Richard
Wagner.
Well, I loved
him. The Granite City pronunciation.
I loved him in Heart to Heart.
I loved him in Apocalypse Now. Didn't he do the music for that? Didn't he?
Yeah, Ride of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Coming in low. With the surf, with the sun behind him.
Who was Franz Liszt? I just gave it to him.
Yeah,
Franz Liszt's son-in-law. I was going to ask you who his father-in-law was, but I just gave you the, yeah. And apparently Liszt didn't like him much.
Well,
he did not want Cosima to marry him.
Again, I
so
will.
So there was some friction there.
If my introduction to Wagner is courtesy of Warner Brothers and the great Mel Blanc and Chuck Jones with What's Opera, Doc?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Kill the Wabbit. You remember that
one? Oh, yeah, of course. Sure.
Oh, fantastic. 1922, John Butler Yeats.
The Irish, I would imagine.
Irish painter.
Now, I don't know him. I know, I guess his brother, William Butler Yeats. Oh. Now, him I know, the poet.
1924, president.
Yes, this is a great day.
28th president dies.
Wilson bites it. All right, you piece of shit. There's not enough I can say about how much I hate this guy. I almost hate him as much as I hate FDR, and that's saying something. Probably more, because if we didn't have Wilson, we wouldn't have FDR. Just a couple of quotes from him, okay? Let me quote Shakespeare to describe what I think about this one. This is from Macbeth, Act 1, Scene 4.
Act 1, Scene 4.
Yeah, this is my opinion of Woodrow Wilson. Nothing in his life became him like the leaving of it. Yep, there you go. That's what I think about him. I will give you some facts on him just in case anybody has a morbid curiosity about this loser. Born in Virginia, his real name was Thomas. No, I guess that was too, I don't know, I guess it wasn't cool enough. He had to go by Woodrow.
Woodrow.
Only PhD president, president of Princeton, where he should have stayed in academia.
Well, they have the Woodrow Wilson School there now.
Yeah, well, burn it down. Governor of New Jersey, won the election 1912 thanks to Teddy Roosevelt, another asshole, because Taft was running as a Republican.
Yep.
Well, Bull Moose got involved and,
got back into the race.
Fakes an assassination attempt in Milwaukee, which is phony.
A lot of people have done
that. Anyway, splits the vote and Woodrow gets in. Wants to make the world safe for democracy. Well, that worked out real well. Established the Federal Reserve. Thank you very much. Palmer raids. About 175,000 people were arrested during World War I because of the subversion acts. I could go on and on about this guy. He's all about, here's him talking. Government does now whatever experience permits or the times demand. He's basically saying we can do whatever the hell we want.
I read that as carte blanche.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I cannot imagine. I got something here.
I love that you can't read your own writing.
Yeah, I know. When it's Wilson, I get a little blurred.
Yeah.
My eyesight's
rage
gone.
Takes over.
I'm going to have a stroke over here with this guy. Anyway, any books on him? Oh, and the final touch, in 19, I think it was 43, they made the movie Wilson with Alexander Knox.
Uh-huh.
One of the biggest flops of all time, fittingly. Shun him. Revile him.
All right. Knock it off.
Okay, now get to something pleasant.
1985, Frank Oppenheimer passes away.
I don't know this guy. Who's he?
He's an American physicist.
Is he related to J. Robert Oppenheimer?
His name's Oppenheimer, and he's a physicist.
That's a pretty common name. Oppenheimer was the producer of Leave It to Beaver, too.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's see here. Let's just put this one to rest.
Exactitude. Don't make me look it up. You got me all mad.
Heaven forbid
Wilson.
You look anything up.
Woodrow Wilson. Ugh.
Oh, here he is, Frederick Oppenheimer, American particle physicist, cattle rancher.
Was he the son of J. Robert Oppenheimer?
Younger brother of renowned.
Oh, younger brother.
Physicist J. Robert.
Okay.
So
J. Robert Oppenheimer was a legitimate hero. I mean, that guy.
Well, and so is this guy.
I guess. I don't know.
He did cattle and he did physics.
Which was more important?
The cattle.
You would say that.
1989, John Cassavetes.
Yeah, we just talked about Franco.
passes away, man.
That is a great scene where he goes to enlist Lee Marvin. Look stupid. Remember that? Are you a general? You're not a general. Just look stupid.
Look stupid.
I'm making you an offer. What they get you for, big shot? That's almost $10. You're gonna go to the. You're gonna hang for 10 lousy bucks. That's a great scene. I'd watch that over and over. And apparently, I was never a real big fan. Cassavetes made his own movies, directed with his. Wasn't his wife? Who was his wife that he made? She's still alive. Would you look that up for me?
Gina Rowlands?
Jenna Rowlands. I think it's pronounced Jenna, yeah. Very good actress. She was in his movies. And he played the Hollywood game to make a few bucks and then make his own movies, independent. And I got to say, they're kind of hard to sit through. I can't recommend any of them.
Well,
but the guy was trying hard.
Well, let me give you...
Yeah, Jenna Rowlands. Yeah.
Let me give you a couple.
Okay.
Let me tell you. And then, now, this is John...
Cassavetes' director movies.
Well, directed movies?
Well, written and directed. I think he did himself.
Shadows, Two Late Blues, that's, A Child Is Waiting, Faces, Husbands.
Yeah, those are Cassavetes' movies.
Minnie and Moskowitz, A Woman Under the Influence, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie, which is a great name for a movie. God, is that a
that
good
one
name.
One I haven't seen.
The Opening Night, Gloria Love Streams, Big Trouble. Big Trouble is made in 1986, by the way. I'm looking for ones that he acted in here that you might like.
Well, Dirty Dozen, of course.
How about Combat, 1965?
Not bad.
How about The Killers from 64?
Well, I haven't seen that. That must be a remake.
How about Rawhide back in 61? Appeared in that actor.
Yeah, but that's a TV show. Yeah.
I know, that's a TV show.
Was Killers the one with Ronald Reagan? His last movie, I guess. That was Ronald Reagan's last movie.
The Killers, uh-huh. Lee Marvin, Angie Dickinson, and your future president, Ronald Reagan.
The great one.
He's in The Virginian, 66.
Another TV show, right? He did some TV work. Yeah,
an episode called Long Ride to Wind River.
Virginian's significant. It was the first 90-minute Western.
The Dirty Dozen?
That's the one we...
Rosemary's
Baby. It was very good. I liked him in that.
If It's Tuesday?
It must be... This must be, what, Belgium? Or
Belgium?
Something? Right.
And then episode of Columbo, Nightside.
Right, yeah, I remember
Capone.
That. Oh, yeah, with Ben Gazzara?
Mm-hmm.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Interesting career, man.
But Dirty Dozen, still, Franco was great. Remember? And then at the end,
we made it.
Well, as soon as a guy screams that out, you know a Nazi's going to plug him.
Yeah.
Franco, just keep firing. You know, don't say that.
Kiss of death, baby.
That's too bad.
And finally, in 2012, Ben Gazzara passed away. The actor and director as well.
I think he was good in... Anatomy of a Murder. We've talked about that before. See that movie. That's a really great movie. James Stewart. You know, probably the best courtroom movie. That and The Verdict, I guess.
Ben Gazzara was still making good stuff right up until the end of his career.
He wasn't that old either, was he?
No, I mean, I remember Thomas Crown Affair from 99.
I like the original.
Yeah. I thought he was in The Score with Brando and De Niro, but I'm not seeing
that?
It. Yeah, I'm not seeing
that.
It.
He was in the one where Patrick Swayze kicked ass. Roadhouse?
Point Break or Roadhouse?
Roadhouse. Remember that?
Looking.
He was a villain.
Yeah, Roadhouse, 1989.
He was a villain in that.
Yep.
Yeah, just be nice.
Yeah, he was an Inchon as well.
He probably got a suitcase full of money, too.
He probably did. He's in Brian's Song, the remake.
They remade that?
Summer of Sam?
I didn't see that, but I guess... Okay.
Yeah.
I like Ben Gazzara. He's not exactly a pretty boy.
No. Boy, I thought he was in a lot more than what he actually was. Yeah, Anatomy of a Murder, 1959.
That's the one you ought to see. He's really good in that.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
The Bridge at Remagen.
Remagen, right?
Remagen, 1969. There you go.
Okay.
That's what I recommend.
All right. Anybody
that's
else?
What I recommend. Nope. That's all I got for deaths. Who you got? You got anybody?
After Wilson, I was just so...
Yeah, you were spent.
So ecstatic.
You were spent.
Yeah, I was going to take the whole show on his death.
Yeah. Well.
It's a glorious day.
February 3rd, Armand's second least favorite president.
It's a tie.
Passes away. Oh, tied for first, huh?
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for this edition. For producer Brian Kroc and producer Andrew, Armand Kachigian, Tony Hubert, we bid you adieu until February the 6th when we're back at it here on lineupmedia.fm. So long, everyone.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.